Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel. No other book of poetry covers so poignantly and completely as does the Psalms the many phases of human life, from before birth to after death. Psalm 16 takes us from distress in verse 1 to joyful deliverance in the last verse and to eternal pleasure. Only a book divinely inspired, as are the Hebrew Psalms, could detail with confidence life beyond the grave. Who else but God, who made us and who redeems us, could reveal a resurrection? We anticipate with eagerness and hope A.J. Overton's meditation today on Psalm 16. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The book of Psalms was essential to the spiritual life of the Hebrew people. It became their hymn book for worship in the temple. The Psalms are just as important today to all who would worship the true and living God. They create a divine consciousness and stimulate worship. The Psalms are timeless in their application. This divinely inspired book of Hebrew poetry is not only devotional but doctrinal in content. Most of the Psalms contain meaning beyond the experience and understanding of the writer. Traditional Judaism recognize the messianic content and hope in their words. This is true especially of the Psalms of David. This sweet psalmist of Israel was not only a poet, but a prophet. Thus, as we consider this book, beloved by so many, we need hearts illumined by God's Spirit. The Lord God would make the truths of the Psalms relevant to our daily lives. The 16th Psalm, evidently written by David during his exile period, describes nonetheless the satisfied soul. Jehovah has become the psalmist's portion in life, and he fully expects him to be his deliverer in death. David beautifully and consistently pictures to its final results what it actually means when a man fully gives himself into God's hand and abides in this fellowship. In this 16th Psalm, David speaks both as a saint and a seer, that is, a believer and a prophet. While David records personal experiences and utters the joys of a devout believer, he also gives more elevated utterances to describe the one to come, in whom his royal line would witness the culmination of its glory. This prophetic character appears strongly in the last part of this psalm. David's own faith and hope point to a greater one to come. The incomplete shadows of David's experiences find complete fulfillment in the future experiences of David's greater son, the Messiah. This beautiful Hebrew poem falls into three stanzas. The first, verses 1 through 4, presents David's open profession of his supreme delight in Jehovah. The second, verses 5 through 8, gives his description of the blessedness of such a condition. The third, verses 9 through 11, declares the prophecy of assurance of victory over death and the grave. The first stanza reads, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee I trust. I have said to the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, for the saints that are on the earth and the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer. I will not take their names into my lips." As a believer or saint, David expresses first a prayerful plea. Preserve me, in thee I trust. Now God loves to be trusted. This confidence will never be disappointed. David further announces Jehovah to be his own God. Thou art my Lord. As he confided, he also yielded his full homage to him as sovereign Lord. He then finds in God all his soul desires. Supreme joy is his portion. Also, he discovers delight in the fellowship of other believers who love and trust Jehovah. These become a part of that remnant that the prophet Malachi spoke about centuries later. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. David declares that he avoids the entanglements with the ungodly. David looks with both pity and anger at those in his own nation who lapsed into idolatry. Their sorrows shall be multiplied. David refuses to enter into hypocritical worship with them. Such is the open profession of David's delight and allegiance to Jehovah. The second stanza, recording the blessedness of this commitment, reads as follows. The Lord is mine assigned portion and my cup, thou maintainest my lot. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who giveth me counsel. Yea, in the night my reins instruct me. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Again, David defines his stand. The Lord is his choice portion and cup. The original implies a superlative. David means he has no treasure more valuable to him than the Lord. The words, my cup, signifies that the Lord is that which refreshes and invigorates the individual. An exuberant note pervades this stanza as David speaks of the pleasant places and the goodly heritage. The figure comes from the allotment of the land of Canaan. Even in David's sore trials, spiritually speaking, his lot is happy. All confining burdens are cast upon him who is David's refuge. He blesses the Lord who counsels him. In the quiet of the night, he declares, when all distracting influences are quiet, his conscience confirms his present position with God. It is the right course, and he will not disavow it. Now David asserts that God is no abstraction. God is ever before him. The prophet Isaiah later in history wrote, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. David keeps God in the place of honor in his life. He is at my right hand. He sums up all the enjoyable benefits resulting from this right relation to God thus, I shall not be moved. From this description of blessedness David enjoys in the present, he moves into the third stanza that indicates future results. This third stanza reads, therefore my heart rejoiceth and my glory exalteth, my flesh moreover shall rest in safety. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou give thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence the fullness of joys, at thy right hand pleasures forevermore. David simply asserts that the intimate and precious relationship between God and himself is such that not even death can destroy or disturb it. He sees beyond the unseen state in death, Sheol, and sees it conquered by the great eternal God. Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol. David saw by the Spirit of God far beyond on behalf of the true believer, fullness of joy forever in the presence of the eternal God. How happy even now, in spite of all circumstances, and for eternity, the one who places their full trust in the Lord. All through this psalm, David's experiences of delighting in the Lord point to David's greater son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, who upon becoming man found his very delight to do the Father's will. Following his death as God's Lamb, his burial and glorious resurrection, Peter declared concerning him on the day of Pentecost, David speaketh concerning him. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. The 16th Psalm closes with this assurance of triumph over death and the grave. These beautiful words show forth the glory of the truly obedient one who walked on earth, knew no sin, and saw no corruption. He could not be held by death. Knowing this, he rejoiced in doing the Father's will. He became obedient even unto death. Thus, through death and the grave, coming out as the mighty victor, he has opened the path of life and entered as the man of glory into God's own presence. He is now at God's right hand, where pleasures abound forever. He entered this path as the forerunner. For all who place their trust in him will follow through his victory into God's own presence. Will you trust him and enter into pleasures forevermore?
And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.